Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Make sure you like this video, leave a kind comment. If you're listening on an app like Spotify, a five-star review would really be appreciated. Well, thank you for joining us. I want to take this time to talk about a current event in the news. And this was big like a week or two ago. I try not to do a lot of hot takes. I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. I try not to just hit the algorithms of what is being talked about because so many times these situations play out and you have a bunch of reactions and then more information comes out. And so I like to take my time and do some research and, I don't care if I haven't caught the algorithms like some people have and talk about when it's hot. I just want to educate us and inform us about what's going on with sexuality in our culture. Well, in the last couple of weeks, I never thought I would see this, but it happened. James Dobson and Jeffrey Epstein in the same headlines being linked together. And I thought it was really, really bizarre. And I was astounded at what happened. And so let's explain what happened. I was really astounded on Julie Roy's, on the Roy's Report, had an article. And, in the last couple of weeks, there's all these Epstein files released. And Julie Roy's is a reporter, has a site, and she reports on church matters, mostly church abuse, pastors getting arrested, scandals in the church. I think that some of the things that she exposes is good to be exposed. We should expose evil. But sometimes it seems really, really gossipy. And she kind of has a certain theological slant and agenda, it seems like. And sometimes I'm really off put by the way that she reports things and some of the just connections she makes that I don't think are legitimate, that I think are really a stretch.
It's all one massive global conspiracy.
And so she had this headline that said, Jeffrey Epstein recommended James Dobson. I was astounded by that. I was like, holy cow, who would have thought that Jeffrey Epstein recommended James Dobson? I need to read more about this. And so I read her story, and I thought that it was horrible journalism. And so what she reported on was that James Dobson's name did, in fact, come up in the Epstein files. Which is kind of shocking, but there's so many things that came up in the Epstein files, right? And so just because someone's name is in them doesn't mean that they did something wrong. I saw that someone posted that Elmo, the Sesame Street character, was in the Epstein files like 21 times or something because there's millions of pages of documents and people's names mentioned that then get recorded in some document somewhere. And all of his text messages and emails and obviously, so many people and things that don't even relate to his abuse that then get documented in these files. And so it's like, holy cow, Epstein recommended James Dobson. Like, how did that happen? So I read the article and she shared about how, yes, Epstein did recommend an article from James Dobson. And so she got a couple people's take on it on how, well, then that means that Dobson is like somehow responsible for this abuse that Epstein did. Obviously horrific, horrific abuse that he perpetuated on young girls. And I was struggling to make this connection. And so I went and looked, did some more research. And it turns out that one time, yes, Epstein did recommend a James Dobson article to someone in a text message. And so it was this woman that he was texting with. We don't know her identity. I don't believe. I believe that was redacted. It seems to have been an adult woman from the context. And she was having struggles with her relationship with her dad. And so she told Epstein that, and he sent her a link to this James Dobson article. So that's a little bit perplexing. And then he then used that article to, he didn't actually use any of the content of the article. What he did was like, oh, well, kind of manipulatively, oh, well, I shared you advice on for your dad situation. And so like, you owe me a favor, which was implying a sexual favor. And so really using it manipulatively. And so because of that, people were a few in particular were saying, oh, there's this link between Epstein and Dobson, and Epstein was recommending his materials and recommending that he was using his materials to abuse women. It's like, that was such a stretch, because Epstein didn't interact with the content of the article whatsoever. He didn't mention Dobson's name. Like, I don't think there's any indication that Epstein even read the article that he shared. And it seemed to be a kind of a case of like, oh, she wants advice on her dad, so let me Google how to move on from a father that you don't feel emotionally connected with. And this is the first result that comes up. So here's a link to that. And it happened to be the Dobson article. I don't know if that was exactly what happened, but it seemed to me that made the most sense. Nothing in the article was used to manipulate her. He didn't seem to use any of the advice that Dobson gave in the article as part of his manipulation of her. He didn't interact with the content of it whatsoever. Really no indication that he'd even read it. So I went out of curiosity and found the Dobson article, and it wasn't bad. He was consoling a adult woman who was really hurt by her dad's lack of effort in their relationship, not only when she was a girl, but now as an adult. He'd missed like big life events and just didn't seem emotionally present. And so he shared with her his response to one of his friends who was in a similar situation on comforting her and understanding that her dad probably just didn't have the emotional capacity and because of abuse in his own life. And if I was going to critique the Dobson article, I would say that he could have made it a little more gospel-centered on there is a possibility your dad could change and find Jesus. And he really didn't go there, but was trying to comfort her and allow her to move on and not hold on to the expectation that the father is going to change or make things right. And it wasn't bad advice, right? And it certainly was not advice that Epstein applied in this situation or interacted with whatsoever. And so I thought that, this was really horrible journalism. And the people that she quoted in the article who were condemning Vin Dobson, one of them is a gay activist who's about to write a book supporting homosexuality. And so it's like that's the type of person that she's using to build her case with this. And I thought it was really, really bizarre, but not really surprising, because there's a lot of people who are on the rampage about James Dobson, believing that his teachings lead to abuse. And it's really people who believe that all complementarianism leads to abuse. And so I wrote a post on this, and there's a lot of commentary on it. And there's a few people who I know have been through really horrible abusive situations with their childhood, with their husbands. And it's heartbreaking. But they were blaming James Dobson, believing that his teaching was led to too much discipline, too strong of parenting, and leads women to believe that they can't speak up about it, that they can't have a voice, that they have to be just run over like a doormat and abused. And I think that that's just taking it too far. And there's been that view on Dobson for a while. I have interacted with that some on the podcast. I've taught about it. I've never been a huge I wouldn't say Dobson fan. I don't read a ton of his work because I think that there's better resources for my generation of parents, right? He was kind of before my time. I certainly haven't, read or listened to everything. I mean, he was in ministry for 40 years, produced massive volumes of work. I don't think anyone now my age could go back and read and listen to everything that he said. And so I can't vouch for everything they said. But every time I've seen people just castigating him and criticizing him, it seems like, gosh, I really think that they're twisting what he taught. And I know so many families who he helped give them a vision for Christian parenting. And it seemed like most of the time I hear him criticized, like, okay, that's like misapplying what he taught and, you know, and really misapplication. And he never taught that parents can abuse their kids. But now we live in this world where everything is considered abusive and people are reading abuse back into his work and making connections that I just don't think were there. Well, there was a lot of backlash to Julie's article. And, you know, I commented on there that, gosh, like anything can be misused, right? Especially by an abuser. They can take things out of context. They can misuse anything in a manipulative way. And my little comment had hundreds of people liking it and agreeing with it. And even Julie had a lot of negative response from journalists, people who I see who normally agree with her and were saying, oh gosh, this really seems like a stretch and how she presented this supposed connection between the two. And even the headline that Epstein recommends Dobson and people were really struggling with it. She was making a stretch there and then a lot of backlash that this is just irresponsible journalism. Well, then I seen other people getting on that bandwagon. And one of them was Sheila Ray Gregory. So Sheila Gregory, I have addressed her before on the podcast. She is in what I call a camp of militant egalitarianism. And I don't say that to make fun of them or to dismiss them. I love many of my egalitarian friends. Egalitarianism believes that there's not differences between men and women. And I disagree with that theology. I'll be covering that more in the future on the podcast. But there's this militant group of them that I think that Sheila is really leading the charge of that I think is really dangerous. We're going to be talking about that today. And so I saw that Sheila made a comment about, and then an article about Dobson and Epstein are on the same team. And that to me was just astounding. And that was irresponsible. And she, kind of posted about how that was irresponsible. And then I don't know if it was a response to because of me pushing back on that specific comment that she then wrote an entire short article or blog post about, yes, Dobson and Epstein are on the same team. And she believes that Dobson's teaching led to abuse of girls. And which I can't make that connection. I think that that is horrible. It is reading things into his teaching that weren't not there. It is placing blame where blame is not due. You know, I've examined Sheila Gregory's teaching on the podcast a couple times before, and I think that she makes some good points when she started years ago pointing out some problems with purity culture that was going on in the 90s and early 2000s, and then some of the marriage material, like marriage books, books on sexuality, like Every Man's Battle. I think that there's some problems with the book Every Man's Battle. I talked about that maybe a year and a half ago. Go find that episode. The book Love and Respect, which I know is widely used in Christian circles. I agree with her with some of her concerns on it. Some of these marriage books, a couple of issues with them is that they really dismiss the gravity of a man's sin and what a man's lust does and really puts it on the responsibility of the wife to manage the husband's lust. And I think that that's wrong, and I agree with Sheila's view of that. And then some books like Love and Respect, where I think it leads men to kind of manipulate their husbands and not, lay down their life. No, men to manipulate their wives. And instead of laying down their life for their wife, it's more like this manipulation of, oh, I'll do this for you, and now I expect this in return, mostly sex. And I think that there's some concerns there. But then in her, I think she takes things way too far, and she puts blame where blame is due. And so I've come up and really dissected a few different ways that three different ways where I have issues with her and her teaching and her theology. So the first is this. She believes that anything that resembles purity culture is abusive. And I think she goes too far. There were some misgivings about purity culture. I've done episodes on that. I mentioned a couple of those, is that there wasn't a lot of discipleship of men and actually repenting of their lustful desires. And it put too much of the responsibility on women to set boundaries and keep a man at bay, and some legalism there. And that was wrong. But Sheila kind of throws the baby out with the bathwater. Any hint of purity culture, and she just thinks that it's abusive. And because of that, she thinks that all forms of complementarianism is abusive. And so she is egalitarian, where there should be no differences between men and women, and in the home, in the church. And so I know many people who have that view who can still respect complementarianism, that says that men and women are created equally. We're equal in value, but we have some different roles and responsibilities in the home and in the church, and that's laid out in scripture. And but she believes that any hint of complementarianism is abusive to women and to children. And to me, that is extremely vile and wrong and divisive. And I believe that she is leading many people, especially women, away from Christianity. She ends up leading them to deconstruct, to rebel against their marriages, to divorce their husbands. And I've seen her even say things like, if your husband has ever called you a name, then he is abusive. And just takes it way too far. And I've seen that effect in the not only with women online, but then within the local church. I know women who have been affected by this and start reading abuse into everything. That's kind of a general theme in our culture right now. And I've talked about that a lot, about how people are seeing everything as toxic and abusive and manipulative, and really this victim type mentality. And so that's my first critique of her theology. Secondly, is that I believe that she is very, very soft on LGBTQ issues. And that's what happens when you become an egalitarian. When you are an egalitarian and you start erasing the gender differences, then it leads you to becoming LGBTQ affirming. And I want to be fair that there's egalitarian churches that are not LGBTQ affirming, but that's usually where they end up someday. And so, you know, there are zero affirming churches that aren't egalitarian. That is part of it. To be affirming, you have to be egalitarian, because you have to erase the differences between the gender. And then you can say, well, it doesn't matter if it's two men in a relationship or two women, because men and women are the same anyway. All LGBTQ affirming churches and theology are egalitarian, but then some egalitarian churches have fallen short and not become affirming. But I believe that many of them, you know, are on their way. So in particular, she has one of her books called She Deserves Better. And in this, she tries to make the case that purity culture teachings are the number one threat to teenage girls. And I would disagree. And I think with purity culture, you have to, you know, eat the meat, spit out the bones. There was some bad that happened. There was some legalism. There's placing the wrong blame on things, which now, ironically, I believe that Sheila is doing. But I'll say purity was a good thing. So I see most people who are rejecting purity culture also then reject purity, right? And any hint of sexual morality, of living by God's standards, is dismissed as being purity culture, and that is abusive, and that is harmful, and that places burdens on women. And so she believes that the greatest threat to teenage girls is any hint of purity culture. And obviously, we should teach that purity is a good thing. That's what God wants for us. But if we mess up with that, God's grace is sufficient, right? I would think that, you know, it's not hard to make the case that the number one threat to teenage girls right now is social media. We see social media having disastrous effects on our youth. And part of that social media influence is LGBTQ issues that are being pushed on our kids. But in this chapter, in a certain set chapter of this book, she dismissed LGBTQ issues, and she specifically stated that parents shouldn't show concerns about their girls identifying as LGBTQ because showing any amount of concern over it would increase their likelihood of suicide.
Yikes!
And that is an absolute horrendous thing to say to parents. We see medical providers who have said that to parents, and that is manipulative and should be considered malpractice. And it's not true. And so Sheila cited the Trevor Project to make this claim. And the Trevor Project is a very liberal LGBTQ activist group. And they completely misuse statistics. They come up with their own statistics from a couple of really horrible studies. They twist and they distort so that they can perpetuate LGBTQ theology. And so the fact that she would cite the Trevor Project and use them as a reliable source is a major red flag. And her advice here to parents to ignore LGBTQ issues with their children is absolutely horrible advice. If your child is starting to identify as LGBTQ, that is a major cause of concern. And you should dig into that and disciple them and figure out where that is coming from and try to lead them away from that, disciple them away from it. And so I think that this is a strong indication that she has become more and more progressive in her theology. And I've seen a lot of comments about that online. I'd recommended to Alyssa Childers recently that she should do a deep dive into Sheila Gregory, because Alyssa is so good at that. She's so intelligent, so smart, so logical. And I've been seeing Sheila have such a negative influence. And so the next day, I don't know if his response to me or not, but Alyssa posted on her Facebook about do you guys have any if you guys have concerns about Sheila Ray Gregory, what book would you recommend I review of hers? And so like I'd be really excited if Alyssa is actually going to do that. And so we'll see. But the comments were really, really interesting. There are some people who defended Sheila with like a cult-like mentality. But then there are so many others who affirmed what I have been seeing, that some of the concerns that she raises are legitimate, like with some of these books, some of the things about purity culture, but she takes things way too far. And I felt like, okay, maybe there's hope that people are seeing the issues with her. And especially with the use of social media, her books aren't as horrible as her podcast and her social media. And then the people that she's associating with, the extremely liberal theologians that she interviews, her connections with the deconstruction movement, I think are very big causes for concern, and show that she has become more and more progressive in her theology. So my third concern about Sheila Gregory is and it seems along with many others, I believe that she completely misuses data and uses bad data. The thrust of much of her teaching relies on a survey of 22,000 women that she did. And so she continuously claims that this research proves that complementarian or evangelical marriages are bad and women in them are unhappy. And so I think that there's some major issues here with her research. For one thing, it's impossible to evaluate her data fully because she refuses to release it. And so she won't release even the survey questions, the results. And so that in itself is suspect and a major red flag on relying on that research.
Seems a little sketchy.
But then I've had, I never saw the survey, and I obviously couldn't have done it because I'm not a woman. But the title of the survey was something along the lines of, like, are you an evangelical woman who is unhappy with your marriage? Then take this survey. And that in itself creates a sample bias because they're specifically looking for women who will give the answers that they want from this, right? And so that is absolutely horrible research. And so women who clicked on it and did the survey are more likely to already be of the mindset that something is wrong with their marriage. And then she also sent it out the survey to her thousands of people on her email list. And so this email list is a list of people that obviously have subscribed to her emails at some point and have been getting, you know, her emails in her inbox. I get her emails. I don't read most of them because I don't have time to waste on what I think is such garbage theology. But her email list would obviously be mostly made of people who already agree with her because they're following her teaching. And so they agree with her anti-complementarian views. And so that, again, is a red flag with her research. And so we can't examine the survey itself because she won't release it. But I've seen many women and heard from some women who took the survey who claim that the questions in it were very suggestive and leading. And so like they're trying to lead towards a certain answer to try to get them to claim that their marriage is unhappy if it's a complementarian marriage. And one woman in particular stated that it made her really uncomfortable because as a woman who is in a very happy and a very healthy complementarian marriage, the questions did not allow her to express that. It's as if the only option for a complementarian marriage was to feel abused and oppressed. And so I strongly do not believe that we can trust her research. She also ignores data and research that contradicts her teaching, such as that of Nancy Piercy, who I think is absolutely fantastic. And I have a very specific example of how she misquoted Nancy. Nancy wrote one of her books is The Toxic War on Masculinity. And I think it's a fantastic book. And Sheila did, I'm not sure if it's a blog post or an episode on it, but she claimed in some of her teaching that Nancy Piercy was against women's suffrage, that she does not support women's right to vote. And that came from her book on toxic war and masculinity. So I went and looked it up. And Nancy Piercy talked about the women's suffrage movement as part of just talking about the history. And she, in there, gave the reasons, some of the arguments at the time against women's suffrage. So she was not advocating for or against women's suffrage or women's right to vote. She was merely claiming at the time in our culture, here was the argument against it. But Sheila took part of a quote there and used that to claim that Nancy was against women having the right to vote. And it was such a blatant misuse of that quote. It took it completely out of context and twisted it to mean something that it absolutely did not mean. Nancy never said that she believed that women shouldn't be able to vote. She was merely stating why women and men at the time were against women's suffrage. And so that was one of the early on encounters I had with Sheila's teaching where I really realized, holy cow, there are some major problems here. She is misquoting people. And so through a couple of years of reading her work and watching her, I've had concerns over and over again on how she really lumps people together. Whenever she sees anything that's wrong, she will lump it together as that's all complementarianism, or that's all evangelicalism, or that's the patriarchy, that's purity culture. And so she lumps things together that absolutely don't need to be lumped together, like Jeffrey Epstein and James Dobson being a good example. I believe she absolutely slanders individuals in her teaching and makes claims about them that aren't true. She uses guilt by association tactics. When I look at her social media, it is so harsh. And I think it's unfair. And she makes sarcastic characterizations about people. She extrapolates things out of their teaching that I just don't believe are there. She uses all this, you know, guilty by association, sweeping generalizations. She draws conclusions that if someone says this, then what they must mean is that. And it does not follow logically. And to be honest, I just think that she outright mishandles what other people have said or written. And I think that it's dangerous and it is leading people astray. All right. I really need to wrap this up here. I'm not Mike Winger, so I can't do a 6-hour video like he does. I love Mike Winger and he's doing amazing work. But I need to wrap this up. So it seems like maybe these are some unrelated topics I'm talking about, right? So we started talking about Epstein and Dobson and that article by Julie Royce. And then I went into Sheila Gregory. But it's all connected because it is the theology of Sheila Gregory that is leading the way for people like Julie to believe that Dobson and Epstein are on the same team, to believe that they're connected. It's not sound theology. It's feminism. And it's having devastating consequences, as feminism usually does. Women are divorcing their husbands because they are convinced that their husbands are abusive. And of course, we're all against abuse, but they are grasping at straws to find something to claim that their husband is abusive. People are deconstructing and walking away from their faith. One pattern I've noticed about the people who Sheila has led away from Christianity is that very few seem to have peace. They live in a state of turmoil and constant victimhood. And I think that's what, you know, feminism does. And while they are trying to be empowered in their womanhood, they lose what they need most, which is a loving relationship with their Heavenly Father who created them and loves them. That's what we want all women to understand. So I understand the appeal of Sheila to women who have felt belittled and ignored or even legitimately abused, but this isn't the answer. I think the absurdity of their desperation to cancel Dobson with this fake Epstein connection demonstrates their lack of logic, lack of reason, lack of sound theology. And that is what's at the heart of radical egalitarianism, a lack of sound theology and a lack of reason. And, you know, if you are a woman who feels like you've been abused or you have been abused, like, we need the local church. We need biblical counseling. We need biblical soul care. We need some pastoral leadership to help us. And certainly pastors are not perfect. And there's been pastors in the past who have dismissed women's concerns about their marriages. And that's horrible. And that's wrong. But so many times when we turn to just someone on social media, like Sheila, we hear what we want to hear, and we don't have someone to examine both sides, to really dig into our marriage, to help us understand how we might be misconstruing things or twisting something based on previous life experiences. We need the local church more than ever. We need actual real relationships more than ever. And I completely understand the irony that I'm saying that on a YouTube channel, right? Like, don't take my word for it. Go to your pastor. Talk to him about your marriage. Seek out some solid biblical counseling to work through what you're experiencing. That is what we need before we let someone like Sheila decide for us that our husband is abusive or that James Dobson is the cause of our abuse. We need some sound theology. And so we need to test all things to see what is good. And when I test the work of Sheila Gregory, it is not good. It is not sound theology. It is not leading to human thriving or to life, even though she does expose some issues that I think are real issues. All right. Well, that's what I have for us tonight, or today, depending whatever time of the day you're listening to it. If you want to know some more about this topic, go back and listen to the video I did about a year and a half ago on Every Man's Battle. I'm going to be doing some teaching coming up on gender roles, complementarianism, the patriarchy, egalitarianism. So look forward to that. I really wanted to do a little more of a deep dive into that. And I think I have a couple of experts coming on to talk about those issues I'm really excited about. And so, yeah, like look to what's biblical and not to just what is popular. Sheila Gregory is really popular right now, but that doesn't mean that her teaching is good. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Calibrate Conversations. Again, make sure you go to our website, calibrateministries.com, for more podcast episodes and ministry resources. Like this video, leave a nice comment, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or those apps. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you, any ways that I can pray for you or help you in any way. Just reach out through my website. Thank you so much for joining us.